Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 28. Warm welcome to those that are visiting with us this evening. We've been studying the life of a man by the name of Jacob. Learned some practical lessons from his life and his experience. And Genesis chapter 28, I'd like for us to review a promise that God gave Jacob here in chapter 28, verses 13 down to 15. Jacob on his way from Beersheba, which is far south, down all the way up to Paran, in search of a wife. At a place called Bethel, God gives Jacob this promise. Note then verse 13, it reads, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Let's bow for prayer once again. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to draw nigh unto you. We are thankful for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on Mount Calvary that we might have life eternal. And it's in that precious blood we have access into your very presence. And we ask, O God, this evening, as we desire to draw nigh to you, I pray that you would draw nigh to us and speak to our hearts in a very personal way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray once again. Amen. God promised Jacob that he would bless him. God said to Jacob within this passage of scripture there in Bethel, that I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be with your family, and through your family the whole earth will be blessed. I'll give you this land. My presence will be with you, and I will promise you that I will do everything that I have promised you. And as we've studied chapters 29 and 30 of the book of Genesis, we have seen Jacob in his time in a place called Haran, where he was in search of a wife. We have seen that it has been a struggle. There has been some deep personal conflicts with Jacob and his two wives, Rachel and Leah. And that's no surprise to us. And we have learned over the last couple of weeks that Rachel and Leah have taught us very effectively how to destroy any relationship. They've taught us that if you want to destroy a relationship, you just need to apply the ingredient of envy, anger, a competitive spirit, selfishness. If you want to really make a mess of a relationship, we'll just revisit past hurts, past history. Be accusative. Be manipulative. So thanks to Rachel and Leah, they have taught us how to destroy any relationship, whether it's a marital relationship, whether it be a parent-child relationship, whether it be a friendship, just include at least one of these ingredients. All of the above are destructive to any relationship. And we see this within this passage of scripture, how these two ladies, sisters in fact, were involved and were divided because of the inclusion of these negative, sinful characteristics. And we stressed the other week that all of the above that we have mentioned are all really, in essence, the absence of love, biblical love, phileo love, just a genuine love one for another, and certainly a lack of the love of God. But the question needs to be asked, who, what is at the heart of all these problems? Well, his name is Jacob. He is the issue. And if it wasn't for Jacob, Rachel and Leah would not be at odds one with another. If it wasn't for Jacob, then we would assume that Rachel and Leah would still be single, but yet they would still conduct themselves in an ordered, predictable manner as sisters. But because of the inclusion of Jacob, and for those that are not aware, Jacob decided to, he wanted to marry, and that was his mandate. But the problem was that his now father-in-law deceived him into marrying the eldest of the two, Leah, and that's not what Jacob wanted. He wanted to marry Rachel, so he requested that he marry Rachel as well. So therefore, Jacob has two wives, sisters, and therefore there are problems. In fact, at this stage, he has four wives. So Jacob is really at the heart of the problem here. And that's important for us to bear in mind. Now, the question needs to be asked, how did Jacob create such a horrid family situation where these two sisters were at odds one with another, where there is the evidence of envy and anger and the competitive spirit and selfish agenda and revisiting past hurts, accusative spirit and manipulation? How is it? What did Jacob do to create such a family situation? My friend, the Bible teaches us in Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The Bible teaches us if we live within the realm of God's boundaries, righteousness, there will be peace. Because the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Jacob has created this situation. All of those seven negative characteristics that were evident in the life of Rachel and Leah stem back to Jacob. Jacob, the husband, supposedly the leader of the home. How did Jacob create this horrid family situation? Well, for a start, he married two women. He violated the word of God. See, if you turn back to chapter 28, please, of Genesis, chapter 28, verse number 2, Jacob's father, Isaac, commissioned Jacob. Note there in verse 2, he said, "Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife," singular, "take thee a wife," singular. So how does Jacob create this horrid family situation where there is personal conflict, left, right and center within the home? I'm normally not allowed to use that phrase, but I'm using it anyway. Left, right and center, there's conflict within the home. Why? Well, Jacob, for a start, he violated the word of God. See, the Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So God's ideal is for one man to marry one woman. Not complicated, doesn't need to be complicated. That is simply what the Bible teaches. But Jacob followed the way of that day. Polygamy was very common in that day. It was nothing abnormal. And Jacob followed the way of the world. And he, because he wanted to meet his own selfish agenda, he loved Rachel. He married not only once, he married twice. And then he went on to marry again and again. Polygamy was common in that day. It was very, very common amongst the godless nations. But God never ordained for a man to have any more than one wife. One wife is enough, and praise God for that. And so for one to have an extra wife, they're asking for trouble. And so Jacob, he violated the word of God. Now let me make this point. Let me make it very clear. You and I will bring heartache and pain into our homes when we violate this book, the eternal word of God. And I can assure you, if you are struggling within a relationship, whether it be just a friendship, whether it be in the home, whether it be with your spouse, or whether it be with your siblings, I can assure you, in some way, in some form, you have violated this holy book, the Word of God. So Jacob creates this struggle within the home because he violates the Word of God. Let me encourage you concerning the fact that the way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible teaches us. But the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forevermore. If you want to bring heartache and pain into your home, into your life, well then just live contrary to the Word of God. Whether you're a person that claims to fear God, or you're a person that doesn't claim to fear God, it makes no difference. You violate this book, you invite trouble, heartache, pain into your life. It's as simple as that. And that's what Jacob did. He violated the word of God. He took on two wives. Why didn't he just settle with Leah? And just accept it as, well, in God's providence, I married Leah. God can still fulfill his promises. I'm not going to step out of the word of God. I'm just going to stick with Leah and look to the Lord to fulfill exactly what he promised me. No, Jacob decided I'm going to marry whom I want to marry. The second failure that we see within Jacob's life that created this conflict within the home was partiality. Partiality. Note there in chapter 29, please. Chapter 29. In verse number 30, the Bible teaches us, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. So the Bible teaches us that Jacob wasn't backward in affirming the fact and showing and demonstrating his love for Rachel was greater than Leah. So we see partiality. And because of Jacob's favoritism towards Rachel, this led to hatred between these two sisters. Note then verse number 31, please, of chapter 29. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, that's a strong word. Leah was hated. Who was she hated by? Jacob? Rachel? Hatred. And what created this setting? Favoritism. Now, Jacob is no stranger to favoritism. His parents had favorites. Funny, isn't it? Rebecca's favorite was Jacob. Father, Isaac, his favorite was Esau. So Jacob imitates the bad, not the good, in his home. He picks up on that and he also has favorites. How true it is that people follow what they see, not so much what they hear. And the Bible teaches us in James 2:4, are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? The Bible calls favoritism, partiality, as an evil thought. So we see partiality in the home, in Jacob's home. Struggle. We see a violation of the word of God in Jacob's home. Struggle. We see anger in the home. Go to chapter 30, verse number 2. The Bible says that Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. So we see anger in the home. This also led to personal conflict within the home. Anger, violation of the word of God, partiality. And then we also noted the other week there in chapter 30, verses 4 and 9, that Jacob decides to marry his the handmaids or the servants of his wives. Leah had a handmaid or a female slave, and Rachel had a handmaid, a female slave. So these two sisters got into a competition, one with another. Yes, it was World Cup time for them, and they were competing one with another. So therefore, Leah said to Jacob, marry my handmaid, have more children. And that was a response to Rachel, who said to Jacob, marry my handmaid, have children. We need to beat Leah. I need to have more children than Leah, so I need to have children by you. So this competition. So we see that, you know, Jacob, do you think he objects to that? No, he just does what he's told. You know, he walks by sight, not by faith. He doesn't consider. Now, what am I doing here? I've already got two wives and it's a headache. I'm about to have two more wives. Sometimes men can be pretty stupid. And Jacob has a very stupid moment. So he walks by sight, not by faith. And yes, Jacob has further children to these handmaids. But does that help the scenario? Oh no, these ladies are just warming up. Competition's getting hot. So once again, Jacob creates this situation. And then we look at chapter 30, verse number 16. Well, there's a squabble between Rachel and Leah. See, Leah's elder son, Reuben, finds this plant called a mandrake. And in the biblical setting, they believe that if you were in need of fertility and you wanted to have babies, and this was a herbal remedy to getting pregnant. So Rachel said to Leah, give me those mandrakes. And so there it's on for young and old between Leah and Rachel once again. So they strike a deal. Little Rachel, controlling Rachel, said to Leah, okay then, this is what we'll do. You give me the mandrakes. You give me the mandrakes and you can have a date with Jacob, only one night date with Jacob for the mandrakes. So they strike a little deal according to verse number 16. And so the Bible teaches us there in verse number 16, and Jacob came out of the field in the evening and Leah went out to meet him. And Leah said to Jacob, oh, well, I come commissioned by Rachel. Rachel has said to me, you know, for the mandrakes, you are my date for the evening. And how does Jacob respond? Well, he just does what he's told. Just does what he's told. Doesn't leave. How sad. He doesn't leave. Rachel sets up the contract for Leah's mandrakes. Leah carries out the contract, according to Sister Rachel. And what's Jacob's response? Well, he just does as he's told. Whatever a good husband ought to do. Do as you're told. Do as you're told. So we see a failure in Jacob to lead, do we not? And we see Jacob that he turns to human reasoning to solve this dilemma between his two wives, and we see partiality, we see anger, and we see Jacob that he clearly violates the word of God. So I think you'd have to agree with me, even though there is a battle, a raging war between Leah and Rachel, who is really at the heart of all this? Who has really created all this? His name is Jacob. Jacob. Where's Jacob? Some of you ladies have asked me over the last couple of weeks, so where's Jacob? Good question. Where's Jacob? Where's Jacob in all this? I'll tell you where Jacob is. And this is the problem. And this is the point of my sermon tonight, is that Jacob is hiding. He's in hiding. He doesn't lead, he's in hiding. Jacob has some favorite hiding places. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He has some favorite hiding places. And I'd like for you to turn back to Genesis, please, for a moment. And I want you to note here in Genesis chapter 3. See, Jacob is present in body, but he is not present as a leader. He's around in body, but really he's in hiding. He has these little holes that he hides in. Note here in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. It reads, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I hid myself. So where is Jacob? Well, Jacob's in hiding, see? He's present in body, but not as a leader. Jacob fails to fulfill his God-given charge to lead. And that's why this struggle within the home continues. Of course, the actions and reactions of Leah and Rachel are not correct, but hey, who has created this situation? It's Jacob. But where is Jacob in all of this? Where is Jacob when it comes to resolving the issue? I'll tell you where he is. He's hiding. He has some little hiding places that he runs to and he hides. And may I submit to you, my friend, hiding, men hiding is a common problem. Men hiding from resolving problems is a common problem. See, Jacob's problem is a man problem. His failure to lead is because Jacob goes into hiding. Instead of dealing with the issue, instead of confessing, hey, we have a problem here and we need to get it right, what does Adam do? He hides. And God goes looking. Because God holds the man responsible. And God said to Adam, Adam, where are you? As if God didn't know where he was. Of course God knew exactly where he was. But Adam convinced himself that I can hide from the ever-present, the all-knowing, all-powerful God. And if there's anybody that can do it, I can do it because I am his creation. I am Adam. Well, he was wrong, of course. He couldn't hide, but he confessed that I hid myself. I was afraid because I've been caught out in wrongdoing. I've sinned. I violated your word. I've been in hiding. And men, this evening I'd like to challenge you concerning the danger of responding as Jacob did of old. When faced with a problem, Jacob goes into hiding. Instead of dealing with the issue, he goes into hiding. So many of you ladies have said, Pastor, where's Jacob? Where's Jacob in all of this? How is it that Jacob hasn't dealt with all of these different situations? Let me tell you why. Jacob is in hiding. And he's got some favorite hiding places. Places he likes to hang out when problems arise. And the first place that Jacob hides in, and this is often true with men today, it's hiding within this sacred place that Jacob believed that, hey, if I just imagine that this problem doesn't exist, then in time it'll just go away. It'll just pass over. So we see that Jacob hides in this secret place where he convinces himself the storm will blow over. Jacob does not deal with the problem that he creates, but he is hoping that it will just blow over. And this is a common problem with men when it comes to leadership. We hide in this little hole that's very warm and assuring, and we convince ourselves that if I spend enough time in this little hiding place, then the problem will just blow over. It'll just blow over. I'll be able to come out of my hole, and everything will be okay. And this is a common place where many men hide instead of taking the lead and dealing with problems. This is what Jacob did. We don't read that he deals with a problem. There's obvious problems, is there not? But where's Jacob? You might ask. I'll tell you where he is. He's in hiding. He's hoping it all blow over. He's hoping that Rachel and Leah will just get things right amongst themselves. And lo and behold, it doesn't happen. He turns a blind eye to the obvious elephant, or should I say, elephants in the room. The names of his children prove that there was a serious issue between these two sisters. Maybe he thought the problem would be forgotten, go away, or just resolve itself. But no, as we read the Word of God, we see that there is constant struggling to the point of verses 15 and 16 and verse number 30. There is manipulation and there is accusation thrown one towards another. Things have not gotten any better. And men, you be careful of failing to lead your home and hiding in your little hole, thinking, oh, look, if I just stay my distance, if I just hide in my little hole, it's all going to blow over and everything will be all right. I'll be able to come out of my hole and, lo and behold, my wife will be healed. She'll be happy once again. It's all forgotten. It's all resolved. That problem we had the other week, oh, she's forgotten about it. She's gotten over it. You're fooling yourself. You're a fool if you think that. She'll only just become bitter and sour, and she will... She hasn't forgotten. That's where many men hide. They hide in this little hole thinking, oh, if I just hide, she'll just forget about it. She'll get over it. No, she will not get over it. She'll get more bitter in her heart and more resentful in her heart. And that's exactly what happens with Rachel and Leah. They become accusative and manipulative. Where's Jacob? Well, he's in hiding, hoping it'll all blow over. That's one place that Jacob likes to hide. See, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 4:26 that we're not to allow the sun to go down upon our wrath. That means that before the day ends, you and I need to resolve a problem. And if there's a problem between within a relationship, whether it be a marital relationship, whether it be a sibling relationship, whether it be just a friendship relationship, the Bible says before the sun goes down, you are to deal with it. That's not what Jacob does. He goes into his little hole and he hides. Doesn't deal with the issues. So where's Jacob? Well, he's in hiding. He's hoping it's all going to blow over. Let me tell you about another place that Jacob hides and men hide. Look at chapter 30, please. Note then verse 15, the first part of that verse. So one of Jacob's favorite hiding places is just to pretend as if it's all going to be okay, it's all going to blow over. My wives will just work it out between them. They are sisters, you know, and they'll just work it all out. It'll all be okay. It'll just take time. Well, let me tell you about another place that Jacob likes to hide. It's called his work. It's called his work. Look at verse 15, please. The first part of that verse, verse 16. Chapter 30, verse 16, says, Jacob came out of the field in the evening. Jacob devoted his time and effort in his work with sheep and cattle. That's where Jacob felt competent. This is where Jacob experiences success. So that's why Laban wants to keep him. Because Laban admits that since Jacob has come on board, he's prospered. So Jacob, though he fails within the home, he is very successful in the workplace. He's very competent in the workplace. So guess what happens? Guess what happens? Jacob devotes the bulk of his time in the workplace because that's where he feels competent. And then he can escape the squabbling between his wives, Rachel and Leah. So he hides in this little hole. And the Bible teaches us that he's in the field in the evening. Yeah. He devotes as much time as he can. That way he can avoid the struggles at home. He hides in this little hole called his work. That's what men do. That's what men do. We fail in this area, we spend time over here. Do I speak the truth or not? It's true. This is a shamble, but I'm good at this, so I'm going to devote time here. That's what men do. If they're competent in their work, that's where they'll be. But they're not dealing with a problem back at home. That's what Jacob did. That's often the case with men. Jacob devotes his time and effort to his work. That's where he feels competent. Jacob needed to understand that the home is the priority. If we fail in the home, we fail. It will be our greatest failure. It was Barnaby Joyce who said, "My home, my family, is one of my failures." Well, somebody needs to tell him it's your greatest failure. You fail in the home, you fail. And men, let me assure you, you fail in your home, you fail. Don't be a Jacob and hide in your little cave thinking everything will be okay, I'm feeling competent, looking after smelly sheep, smelly cows, and yet your wives, your home is a mess. You need to get back to your home and you as the leader need to start leading. And get things right in the home and stop playing little games thinking everything's okay, things will just blow over, and because I'm good at my work, it'll all be okay. No, it will not. No, it will not. Games that men play. Yeah, I know. Ladies, you're thinking to yourself, Pastor, is that really how it is? Yeah.
You single ladies, just take a deep breath, put on your seatbelt. That's what you'll marry, potentially. A man that has a Jacob nature, that convinces himself, if I just forget about it, that it's just going to blow over. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Women have the minds of elephants. They don't forget anything. And don't think that you and I as men can hide in our little hole of our work or what we're good at and think we're going to escape the problems back home. Foolish. Let me tell you about the third place that Jacob liked to hide. And I'll close with this. See, when Leah met Jacob there in verse number 16 of chapter 30. And Leah said to Jacob, well, Rachel has given me permission to spend time with you, to have a date with you. And Jacob just submits. It's pliable. We don't read that he questions. He doesn't say, well, okay, Leah, let's sit down. Let's have a bit of a chat here. Now, what's going on? Clarity, please. Oh, no. There's Jacob, comes out of the field. Leah's there waiting for him. Hi, Jacob! No, that's Rachel, that's not Leah. That's Rachel, man. Little dynamite. You're spending the night with me tonight, Jacob. Yes, sir, Leah. Listen to me good. I'm not sure if that's good English, but listen to me good anyway. Ladies, listen to me. Often what men do, I know it's a bit bizarre, but this is what we do, our Jacob nature. Sometimes we hide in a little hole, hoping, if I just hide and just, it'll all go away. Everything will be okay. Or what we'll do, we'll just, I'm good at doing this. I'm good at my job, so I'll spend more time in the workplace, I'll take those extra hours, I'll do the overtime and... Well, number three, often what Jacobs do is that they know they've created a problem. They know they've created a storm. And what Jacob does here is that he's pliable. He said, okay, I've made a mess of all this. We're spending the night together, Leah? Are we? Okay, that's lovely. Let's do it. He's pliable. You know why he's pliable? Because he's feeling guilty. He's made a mess of his home. So he's feeling guilty, so he all of a sudden becomes this meek little lamb. Back in verse number 2, he's angry. Roar! But now we find him as a meek little lamb. He's pliable. And that's often what men will do. Because they feel so guilty, they made a mess of things, they've upset their wife, and they've upset their kids, and they've done something really stupid. They'll respond by climbing in a little hole of pliability. And they'll get all meek and mild and, yes, dear, whatever, what would you like? Like a cup of tea? How many sugars would you like? You know, would you like it on fine china? Would you like to have it with me? Where would you like to have it? And get all pliable. Why? Because we feel guilty. And we feel bad that we've made a mess of things. Say amen, men. You know it's true. It is true. That Jacob element prevails in the heart of every man. And all the above, Jacob fails to lead. He wouldn't deal with the problems. He hid in that little hole. He spent more time where he felt competent, still not dealing with the problem. And then he becomes pliable. I'm feeling bad. I've upset my wife. I've upset the kids. I've upset the neighbor. I've upset the mayor. Oh, what can I do? I'll do anything to make it all right. So we become like little lambs. Yes, that's men that fail to lead. Sorry, ladies. Sorry, single ladies. There's a man for you. In the flesh, but not in the spirit. But may God help us to be men that lead. Men that say, God has given me the responsibility to lead. I have created this problem. I will take the initiative. I will lead by the grace of God to resolve this problem. That's not what Jacob does. He looks, he hides. And just like Adam hid from God, men are prone to hiding. Men like to play hide and seek. But a spiritual man does not like to play hide and seek. A spiritual man will come out of his hiding place and say, okay, there's a problem here. We need to resolve it. Yes, I am the problem. I've caused this. Rachel, Leah, sit down. We're going to get this right. And I'm going to begin by confessing that I've wronged. I've violated the word of God. I've been partial. I've gotten angry. I have failed to lead. I have taken matters into my hand. I have failed to believe God and trust His word. That's the kind of man we need today. And men, this evening, I'd like to encourage you. Stop hiding. Stop hiding. Be a man. Take the lead. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.